Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So here's the question I have for you today, and this question is mostly directed toward women, but guys, I want you to consider your own answer to this question. Are you ready? I dare you to engage in this conversation with us. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? When you look in the mirror in the day, during every day, maybe you don't look in the mirror every day. Some of us look in the mirror multiple times a day, but when you look, what do you see? Now, I'll tell you that my hilarious brother-in-law, well, he looks in the mirror most mornings. He stretches out his hands. At least that's what my sister tells me. And he says, perfect 10. But I don't think most of us say that or feel that way when we look in the mirror. Well, our first hour guests today say it's time for us to exchange the society cookie-cutter suggestion of what beauty looks like and instead discover and reclaim what God says we look like through His eyes, to reclaim our worth, to regain our sense of identity in Him. I'm so looking forward to this first hour conversation. We'll be talking today with Chris Shook. She's co-founder of Woodlands Church, and her daughter, Megan Shook Alpha. The title of their amazing book is Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection. We'll get them on in a moment. And as I mentioned, their book is written for women. But guys, you know, we've got as many men listening as women. And so I want to challenge you. Stay tuned. In fact, I would absolutely love for you to call and tell me what goes through your mind when you look in the mirror. In fact, I dare you to join this conversation. I don't want you to be left out here. You have probably different challenges than we do as women, but I'm sure you have challenges. And maybe one of the challenges is you never look in the mirror, and maybe you should. I don't know, but I'd love for you to join the conversation. Second hour, we're going to hear a powerful story from a woman who overcame a massive stroke in her early 20s, and her parents, the docs told her parents that she would probably not live a couple of days, and if she did survive the stroke, she would not be functional at all. And she writes, and she walks, and she reads, and her book is unbelievable. It's titled Hunting Hope, and how she challenges us all to become hope hunters. I honestly underlined almost every line in this book. I couldn't put it down. It's fantastic. So we've got a couple great hours ahead for you. Hope you can stay tuned for both. Let me tell you about my first hour guests. We'll get them on the show. Chris Shook and her husband, Carrie, are the co-founders of Woodlands Church outside of Houston, Texas. It has become a multi-site church with over 18,000 in average attendance every weekend. They've also written two New York Times best-selling books, One Month to Live and Be the Message. Chris's daughter, Megan Shook Alpha, is a graduate of Baylor University and now works as a student missions pastor at Woodlands Church. You can find their resources up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Chris and Megan, this is the only time I'll say something to you both at exactly the same time. But welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thanks, Susie. We're so glad to be here.
Really looking forward to talking with you about this title. And we love to open up our conversations. Chris, you've been on the show before. It's been a while, so good to have you back. But we love to start out by talking scripture. And Chris, I'll start with you. Is there either a life verse or just a verse you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us?
Well, there's one verse that Megan and I have really appreciated and is really soaked into our hearts during the writing of this book, and that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, which is, your beauty comes from inside you. It is the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Beauty like this doesn't fade away, and God places great value on it.
Wow, that's powerful. What translation is that?
That is the NIV.
Wow, just beautiful. Do you want to say a word more about that before Megan shares her verse?
Yes, the whole concept of beauty has just meant so much to us and been so impactful in our lives, because we realized that we were spending our lives chasing being pretty, and God has really driven home the truth of what true beauty is. And so that's what we'll be exploring more during this conversation.
You know something, Chris, and I'm sure you would agree with this. When you meet women who are comfortable in their skin, where they really know they're loved. They don't even have to be, they don't have to have model looks. They shine in such a deep way. And then you might meet somebody who has stellar model looks, but you can tell all the focus and emphasis is on the outside and there's an emptiness on the inside. That impacts an appearance as well. I mean, there's something so deep that reflects in the countenance, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. True beauty just, you know, goes through and through a person.
Indeed, indeed. So, Megan, maybe you want to speak to that same verse, or you've got another passage you've been thinking about these days.
Well, I got another passage, actually. It is Romans 12:6. It says, "Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't." And I just love this verse because it shows that God made us each uniquely and each beautiful, and that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to anyone else. We're the only person that will ever be like ourselves. There's never going to be anyone else like us. And so we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to something that we aren't.
So good, Megan. I often say that sin of comparison leads to two bad fruits, either pride or despair. So either we come out on top on one particular comparison or out underneath, you know, and neither of those fruits come from the vine. And yet we do it so often. And, boy, I think the timeliness of this message is so significant. Appreciate you both tackling this topic. So, Chris, let's go to you as a mama here with a daughter. How many kids do you have, by the way?
Carrie and I have 4 children, and they're all in their 20s now.
Wow.
And Megan is our only daughter. So
okay.
We have 3 sons and 1 daughter.
So we have 3 sons and no daughters. So there's so much, and ours are grown as well. But, I mean, it's such a different dynamic, I've heard, a mother-daughter relationship. Would love to have you talk about your struggle with finding your footing as it relates to beauty and then raising a daughter in this culture, trying to help her find her footing.
Absolutely, and it has been a really unique journey. Megan and I, as many mothers and daughters do, end up spending a lot of time together through the years, and we started to notice something. I'd say it was in her high school years, and that was that whenever friends that were her age, you know, she and her friends got together, or whenever I and my friends got together, the conversations gravitated to the same thing eventually. And that was that someone would eventually say something like, "Oh, I feel so fat," or "I look horrible in this," or it say something putting themselves down about their appearance. And then everyone would just pile on the bandwagon like it was an invitation and say, "Oh, me too. Oh, no, I need to lose weight," and or, you know, something about, "No, I don't like this about myself or that." And we realized that, you know, somehow there was this sense of, you know, self-deprecation that was going on in both age groups that went across both generations. And I think it really stemmed in large part from mothers feeling insecure about themselves and inadvertently passing that along to their daughters.
Wow. And you think about that, it's kind of a competition to one-up each other on how bad we can deprecate ourselves. And, boy, what that does to the soul is so significant. You write, "Unless we make peace with our reflection, we'll declare war on ourselves." That is so powerful. And actually, I'd love for both of you to speak to that. Megan, if you'd go first, what does it mean to make peace with our reflection? What does it mean to declare war on our souls?
Mm-hmm. Well, to have peace with our reflection just means that being content with who we are and who God made us to be. As women, we long to be beautiful. We have the desire to be wanted and to be loved. And so we're looking for love and we're looking for beauty in all these different places. But the only way and the only place that we're going to find true beauty and true fulfillment is through God. I'm looking to Him to see our true beauty, and that really all of our love is going to come from Him, and that the only way we're going to be content with ourselves, or the only way we're going to have peace with who we are and what we look like, is if we realize that God made us who we are and that we truly are beautiful just the way we are.
Such good news. So we've got 3 copies of Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection, beautiful hardcover book. I'm daring you, guy or gal, I'm daring you to call in. You can be anonymous if you want, but if you want a copy of the book, you got to leave your mailing address with Grace. Call in and tell me, what are your first thoughts when you look in the mirror? And if you need us to pray with you today, we would absolutely love to do that. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I know we've done a lot of shows recently where we're asking for emails instead of calls, but I really want to hear from you, and I'd love to just kind of let's just see what comes up. Are there some consistent themes that come up? I think you might feel alone, but you'll be surprised how not alone that you actually are. 877-933-2484. If it's easier, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Chris, what does it mean when we declare war on ourselves because we've not made peace with who we are?
Well, when we don't make peace with who we are, when we choose to look at the mirror of what our friends say about us, what our culture says about us, what media seems to say about us, then we're already losing the battle. We're pretty much, throwing up the white flag and saying, hey, I will never measure up. And we're disregarding what God says about us and disregarding the incredible value that he places on us. And we're choosing in that moment to say, you know what, I choose to go with what culture says should be important instead of what you, God, tell me should matter in my life.
Boy, does that ever take some grit to be able to stand on what's true. Tom called and he decided to take my dare. He said he doesn't look in the mirror very often because he was bullied quite a bit as a child. And it's true that when someone speaks words to you as a young person, they stay with you for decades. Tom, I so appreciate you calling in. And if you didn't give Grace your address, I want you to call back and give it to her so we can get you some kind of book. See, this is what's true, is these things, culture does impact us. Life does bump into us. And let's see, we've got Jody checking in from Coon Rapids who could use some prayer today. Hey, Jody, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. Talking to Chris and Megan here right now, and we would love to stand with you if you need prayer. And if you want to answer the question, feel free to do that as well, or ask the gals a question as well.
Okay. Well, I avoid mirrors at all costs. I have since I was a child. And when I look in the mirror, I see loathing and disgust.
Jody.
And in fact, I only look at my face.
Bless you, dear.
There's no mirrors that show the rest of my body.
Oh, honey. Okay, we're going to pray here. I need to, Megan, Chris, we have a quarter hour break that we have to take here in a moment. So if you don't mind, I'm going to pray for Jody. And Jody, if you're able to stay on, the break is only a minute and a half. If not, hang up and listen. I'm going to let Megan and Chris both speak to you, all right, after the break?
Okay,
I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to take a very short break, and then Megan and Chris will have some words of encouragement. Love for you to be able to stay on the line so they can talk with you. But if you're not able to, hang up and you can listen, all right? Well, Jesus,
Sure. Thank
you for Jody. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would deliver her from that sense of self-contempt. Lord, I've been there. I know what that feels like. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would shine your light in her soul, in her spirit, so she would see the value and the worth that you've placed upon her. You've set your affection upon her. She is your masterpiece, and you don't make junk. And so whatever's happened to her in the past that has sent a lying message to her, shine a light on that and refute that lie right now. Show her what's true about her, that she is a masterpiece, and she carries a treasure in this vessel that you've created that is Jody. And so we bless her, and we ask you to heal her and restore her. We thank you for who she is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, Jody, you're going to get a copy of Chris and Megan's book, Beauty Begins, and we're going to unpack why they titled it that way. It's a great, great concept. Lisa, I see your call coming in. Keep the calls coming in if we can encourage you today. But on the other side of the break, Megan and Chris are going to encourage Jody. Maybe you feel like Jody. You look in the mirror and you can't bear it. God wants to heal your sense of self, because when we don't see ourselves as God does, as these girls say, we declare war on ourselves, and we can't do that. 877-933-2484. you believe that's true? He's making diamonds out of us. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Blessed to be talking to Chris Shook and Megha Shook Alpha. They co-authored the book Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection. We have three copies. The first copy goes to Jody in Coon Rapids. Jody, you still with us?
I am.
So I prayed with you before the break, and I wanted Megan and Chris to encourage you. And if you just tuned in, Jody, I had asked, you know, what do you think when you look in the mirror? And Jody just was honest and I think represents so many. When she looks in the mirror, she feels contempt. And in fact, she doesn't want to look beyond her face. And wondering, we'll start with you, Chris, if you had any words of encouragement for Jody.
I would want to tell you, Jody, you are a true beauty. God created you beautifully. And I appreciate your honesty so much, because really you've voiced, I think, what every woman, if she just looks in the physical mirror, we always see things that we think, oh, this could be different or that could be different. And it's looking in that mirror of Christ's eyes and seeing our reflection in His eyes and how He created us. That is the one place, the only place where we'll find that true, the true contentment, and that we'll actually sense and know, we are beautiful because we are His creation.
Mm, so good. Megan, did you have more you wanted to say to Jody?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Jody, that just like my mom, I know that you're beautiful. Just by you talking on the phone, but knowing that God made everyone beautiful, knowing that He created you just the way you are, and that His opinion is the only opinion that truly matters. And what really makes us beautiful is not our outer appearance, but how well we love others. And, are we focusing on those things that matter? And you sound like such a wonderful person, Jody, and I hope that you are encouraged and know how truly beautiful you are.
Indeed. Jody, I pray you can listen. Often we have Dr. Troy. He's a neurologist, Christian man, and he talks about the emotional, physical, and chemical aspects of our health. And if you listen often enough, he's treating me for a recurrence of Lyme disease. And he said something, Jody, that I want to say to you. He said, self-contempt will do more to damage your health and your emotions and your soul than any disease ever would. And so he said, just open your hands and say, I accept me and I trust you, God. I just dare you to do that. Open your hands and say, I accept me and I trust you, God. And see what He does, because how He feels about you is so different than how you feel about you. I'm so grateful you're going to get a copy of the Shook's book. And God bless you, dear one. Thank you for calling today.
Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you
very much.
Mm. All right. Lisa has been on hold and patiently waiting. Lisa, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. The sun came out. That's
all right.
The good thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And, that's a big plus. But looking in the mirror, well, lately I've been thinking that I'm getting old. But I've really been working on my self-esteem, and I've been saying God loves me. Mm. I've been trying to feel His love. I'm not believing the lies that I'm not good enough, or because I was always told that was a mistake. And
oh my!
So it's really affected my life. Yeah.
I'm sure it has. And the fact that you're enough of a fighter to tell your soul a different story is so significant. And wondering, Chris, what she's saying about looking in the mirror. And, that's the thing about aging, that whole gravity thing, just such a bummer. But Chris, I just love that she's speaking to herself. I wonder if you want to encourage her with anything, any other pieces of advice that would help her lift her chin and see herself through God's eyes.
Oh, I would say first, I totally am with you in understanding what it means to age. And the truth is that we are not our bodies. Our bodies are just our earth suits that we, use. And they're quite useful to get around. And I'm thankful for, hands to, hold children and to wash dishes and to, and to do things with. And I'm thankful for, God gives us, these bodies, legs to get around to places. But the truth is that we are not our bodies. And we get so caught up. It's so easy to get caught up in believing what the world tells us. And that is that all we see is all there is. When the truth is that the unseen is far more powerful than what is seen. And remembering that truth, I think, is a great way to fight the lie. And then the other, as Megan mentioned earlier, is to purposely and intentionally redirect our focus onto others and not on ourselves. Hmm. Now, looking in a mirror is the fastest way to discouragement. But when we get our eyes on others and we look for others and their problems, you know, there's every person around us has a hidden hurt. And when we get our eyes on others and helping others, helping others relieve their pain, helping others and looking for ways to be Christ's hands and feet to them, then we forget ourselves. You know, whenever we're busy, you know, maybe bringing a meal to a neighbor or helping out, you know, an elderly friend to get a couple chores done around the house, when we're getting our eyes off ourselves, we never are thinking in that moment, I wonder how I look as I put this meal on the table. I wonder how I look as I'm raking these leaves. No, when we get our eyes off ourselves into helping others, you know, we're freed from looking at our own reflection. And just that focus helps us remember what true beauty really is.
Wow, Lisa, thank you so much for that call. You get a copy of Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection. I'm going to take a hard break at the bottom of the hour here in about 2.5 minutes. But would love for you to speak about maybe first steps. And Megan, I'll start with you. Just first steps for that person who doesn't know where to start. All they see, like I think it was Jody who called, is just self-loathing, self-contempt. What are some very first steps? Because I think I love the idea of focusing on others, but sometimes you can't even impart what you don't possess because, you know, you're so wrapped up in how terrible you feel about yourself. What are some first steps that they can take so that their eyes lift up?
Well, first of all, we need to realize that there's a difference between pretty and beautiful. That pretty are things that are always changing, like the style and what's cool to wear and how we dress. These things are always changing, what's in right now. And that's kind of what we're going for. Most of us are trying to be pretty. We're trying to fix our outer appearance, something that we know is eventually going to change. And so we're spending our time on these things that aren't going to last, when we should be spending our time on things that are beautiful, such as inner beauty, because it's something that is constant. It's never going to change. It's everlasting. Our personality, our characteristics, those are things that we can cultivate and that are not going to change. And so really what we should do is realize that there's a difference, that we're spending our time on something that really is going to fade. We're wasting our time trying to be pretty when we should be spending our time trying to be beautiful, realizing that our outer appearance is going to fade and that we should be working on something that is going to make a difference, that is going to outlive us, and that when we die and our beauty fades, that we're going to leave that legacy, that people will remember us and think, oh, I want to be how loving they were. I want to be how kind and how patient they were. We need to be cultivating our inner beauty and really working on things that are going to last forever.
Wow. Outwardly we're fading away. Inwardly, we're renewed day by day. Have you ever met a seasoned saint that you respected and you loved and you wanted to be like? Did it ever even occur to you to think about what they look like? Amazing that we are, as Megan is saying, cultivating that inner life. And just a little side note, Chris, could you be any prouder of your girl? I'm just saying.
Nope, it wouldn't be possible. I'm so proud of her and so grateful. I've learned so much from her.
What a blessing. More with Megan Shook Alpha and Chris Shook when we return. You know, I think it's true that many of us live with this low level of misery when it comes to our perception of ourselves. It's like we put up with a lie and we don't even realize it. But the thing is, if we're believing a lie, we're not living in the fullness of what God has. We're not enjoying the freedom He invites us to. In fact, the Bible says the fear of man is a snare, it's a trap. But the fear of God is safety, it's freedom. Oftentimes we take our cues from other people and we are so bound up in other people's opinions. And even if that's the corporate cultural opinion, it holds us in a snare and in a trap. And we're captive and we're held captive by these ever-changing fads and trends. We spend way more money than we should so that we can look hip and feel good, and it's still never not enough. So I'm talking today to Chris Shook and Megan Shook Alpha. Chris is a co-author of New York Times bestselling book, Be the Message. Title of the book today we're talking about is Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection. And Chris, you know, the impossible thing about taking cues from our culture is that it's constantly in flux. It's constantly changing. So explain how maddening and even costly that is for a woman who doesn't know who she is to be caught up in this twisting and turning current.
Well, as we spoke of earlier, that sense of prettiness, according to our culture, is a constantly moving target. And one season, it's in to have straight hair. So everybody runs out and buys straighteners, and we straighten our hair. And the next, you know, the next year, it's curly hair. It's, you know, the hemline change and the style of pant legs change. One year, it's, you know, oh, they need to be skinny jeans. The next time, it's bell bottoms. And so just from a very, you know, basic cost factor, oh, it's very expensive to try to keep up constantly with what everyone tells us we should be doing, which colors are in season, all of those things. But the damage goes far deeper than our wallets. It really goes to our souls because we're selling out and saying that our value is only what culture tells us it is for the season and that it's constantly changing. When the truth is that our value has been decided by God for once and for all. Our true beauty is already decided, and He finds that beauty in us, not in the places where our society tells us it can be found, which is what our body shape is like and what our hair is like and what our facial features are like, all these things that are wasting away. And, you know, constantly there's this moving target of what we think it should be like. Instead, God says that true beauty comes from that gentle, quiet spirit. It comes from someone who is trying to imitate Him, imitate Christ in every way. And that is where we'll find beauty and find our value and not be so torn up every time we walk past a mirror.
Man, amen. Oftentimes when I speak at conferences, Chris, I'll tell women, get out of the beauty contest. You know, do the best with what you have, but then focus on the inner life, because there are gorgeous women who all they knew and were known by was their beauty. They lived and they died, and nobody's talking about them anymore. But when I think of like three of my faith heroes, Harriet Tubman, Catherine Booth, Corey Ten Boom, none of them were anything to look at by the world standards, but we are still talking about them. And there lies the difference in cultivating the inner life, right?
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you mentioning, yeah, those few people, yes, who are all wonderful role models. And it's just so true that all of us, I think, would innately know that if you said, oh, okay, which person would you rather spend the afternoon with? You know, this, woman A, who has, looks perfect. She has a great outfit on. She, you know, has her makeup is done perfectly. Her hairstyle is, her hair is bouncy. Her eyelashes are long, you know, all those things. But she'll only be thinking about herself. Or would you rather spend your time with this second woman B, who, she is kind and warm and loving and just wants to spend time with you and listen and laugh with you. And, all of us instantly know, give me this, woman B any day of the week. That's the kind of person we want to be around, we want to spend time with. But yet somehow we think that everyone else wants to spend, what they're looking for in us is woman A. Mm. We're supposed to just be, if we just get the outside all polished up, that is what really matters and that we'll be the kind of person people want to be with.
Mm. Wow, such a great analogy. So, Megan, you're pretty honest about a valley of the shadow that you walked through in college. If you don't mind sharing some of that battle with depression and even some of the messages that were going through your head at that time with regards to your value, your appearance, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in college, I dealt with depression, and it's something that runs in my family. And so there wasn't really one thing that made me come to this point, but it just really happened and I really came on in college. And so during this time, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just literally felt so unworthy and so worthless. And I actually prayed every night that God would take me to heaven, because I just couldn't see the point of living life any longer. It just got so bad. Mm. But what got me through this time, though it was difficult, and I will say that there wasn't anything that necessarily made it easier, but just knowing that God had a plan was really what I looked to, knowing that God had a future and a plan for me, and that even though I felt worthless and I didn't believe in myself and thought that this was never going to end, I had to remember and remind myself that, no, God made me for a reason. God has a purpose, and he has a plan for me, and he wouldn't just let this take over me. And so I had to just stay focused on that. And honestly, what really helped me kind of, I guess, take my focus off of myself during this time and not just wallow in my self-pity, but what helped me was to focus on other people. And so what I did was I had some more time to myself, and so I would I'd go around and to my roommates' rooms, and I'd wash their clothes, and I'd fold their clothes, and I'd write a little note to them and put it by their bed. And I didn't do this because I was trying to get attention, but honestly because it's what brought me joy.
Hmm.
That focusing on others, it wasn't just for my own fame or something that so people would notice me, but it was honestly because when I was helping someone else, I got joy in return. And during this time, my mom would encourage me. I talked to her on the phone, and she'd always be really loving. But what I didn't really want her to say, but she always did, was, you should help somebody else who's hurting. And it's hard. The hardest time to help someone is when you're hurting yourself. But we have to realize that there's always someone else who is hurting more than we are. There's always someone else out there that needs our help and doesn't have a mom or doesn't have roommates or doesn't have a friend or someone to encourage them, or maybe even doesn't know God. And so we need to remember that. And so during our difficult times, it's really, I've noticed that it's best to go out and help other people. And that's what's going to bring us joy in those really difficult, dark moments of our lives.
Megan, I love that your mom gave you that advice. You know, the fact is, life-giving is life-giving. I mean, you give life mm-hmm. to others, and it gives life to you because it's in our spiritual DNA to give. And so something activates in us when we operate mm-hmm. in the way that God made us to operate and function. And so is that when you started to first see glimpses of the sun breaking through the clouds, when you kind of started to almost take sides against yourself and get up and do some of these things so that you wouldn't slip deeper?
It definitely was, because at the beginning, I would cry every night and just kept getting upset and overwhelmed by my sadness. And honestly, what pushed me to get over and to overcome was to stop focusing on myself. And to realize that, yes, I'm hurting, and yes, I'm having a hard time. But it really was. It was hard to do it. It was hard to turn my focus off of myself. It's the last thing you want to do. You want everyone to come to your rescue. You want everyone to help you and ask you, you know, how they can help you. But I had to do the opposite, and I had to make the decision that, no, I'm not going to let depression overcome me, and I need to start working towards helping others. And so that really was kind of the breakthrough for me. It wasn't that everything was easy after that, but it definitely was the beginning.
Wow. Thank you, Megan, for sharing that. So, Chris, I'd love to know, what are some of the messages that you used to tell yourself regarding your own beauty appearance, and what do you tell yourself now?
Well, I think as all girls do, as we, you know, the first thing we see is our own moms and our parents, and hopefully our parents. I think most parents do tell their daughters, "Honey, you're beautiful. You know, honey, I love you just the way you are." And we tell our girls, and we hurt ourselves, those messages. But if we, if our daughters see us looking in the mirror and criticizing ourselves, then they take that on. And instead of following in the words that we're telling them, they follow in those footsteps we thought we covered up. We can tell our daughters, "Oh, honey, you're beautiful." But when they see us looking in the mirror and saying, "Oh, I look fat. Oh, I need to lose weight. Oh, you know, this, and this are wrong about me," then they think, "Well, my mom is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And so if she thinks she misses the mark, then I know what I am." And so little girls internalize this. And then we go and we're part of school, part of classrooms, where we realize that, wait, everyone is constantly, you know, thinking, you know, walking in a room and thinking, what does everyone think about me? And that's just kind of our default, I think, our sinful nature, that programming, as we walk in a room and think, you know, oh, I wonder what they're thinking about me, which is why we worry so much about how we look. But there's this secret that I've discovered, and the truth is, no one is thinking about you. They're all thinking about themselves.
Isn't and that a relief?
It is so liberating to know that.
Wow.
And it's just, I mean, it sounds so simple, but literally it just sets you free.
So this is not one of those one time and you're done kind of a things. You have to maintain. I mean, I think you can have revelations about your value that are game changers and sort of put you on a path and give you some kind of momentum. But isn't it something you also have to steward? Because I feel like you can go 0 to 60 in the ditch, you know, in no time if you let your thoughts go rogue.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. It's just as every other area and relationship in our lives. Just as, you know, it's not enough to spend, trust Christ and then never spend time with him. If we never read our Bibles, never spent time with him, well, we didn't know him very well, and it doesn't take long for the world's messages to seep in. If my husband told me one time, if he loved me the day we got married and never said it again, or we never had deep conversations, that wouldn't be enough. We need daily reminders. We need constant remembering to remember who we are and why we do what we do and what's important. And that's why I agree with you wholeheartedly that it takes day by day and even moment by moment micro corrections. And when we are, we see an image, and now that with social media just bombarding us from every direction, and with the just rapid increase of technology, I see that the generations that are coming along, Megan's generation and those behind her, are the game is really changing, and not in a good way in this area, because we used to just compare ourselves with the people in our classrooms or in our town, and then eventually on movies or television, ads, magazines. But now with social media, it's a 24/7 comparison with every person on the planet, if you let it become that. And we have likes and favorites that we're supposed to, click on things. And so often it just feels like, people posting pictures of themselves and shouting into the dark, do you like me? Do you like me? Am I enough? Am I worthy? Am I valuable? And so Megan and I really hope that for both of our generations and those ahead and behind us, that we can open up conversations. And I think that's the starting place, is conversations between girls, between young women, between moms, grandmas, between generations, moms and daughters, talking about what true beauty is, and just saying, I don't want to get caught up in this, and I need a team of people around me that are like-minded. We need to encourage each other, not fall into that pit of jumping on the bandwagon and all just making comments about how horrible we are.
It's time to tell ourselves a different story. When we return, we'll hear from a student missions pastor, that's Megan, and Chris, a mom and a co-pastor with her husband. How do you raise kids in this generation so they know who they are in this culture of selfies and look at me, as Chris is saying? How do we sow deeper seeds and deeper soil for our kids so they can grow up and know who they are? We'll talk more about that on the other side. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is With the Promise. We're talking about true beauty, but we're not just talking about that. That really is a term that we as women identify with, but we have as many men listening as women. And guys, I care just as much about how you view yourself when you look in the mirror. And for us, we want to know, are we beautiful? But I think maybe for guys, it's, am I valuable? Am I worth something? Am I competent? And I like Tom, he had the guts to call in to say that he doesn't even look in the mirror often because he was bullied as a child. And Tom, I wish you and other guys listening and even gals listening, you could picture Jesus' hands on your face, just holding you, saying, I am sold on the idea of you. I am fond of you. I love you. I'm so proud to call you my own. He loves you that much. This listener wrote in anonymously, this about makes me cry. He says, when I look in the mirror, I see a guy that's turning 65 this year. I see the Grim Reaper is steadily gaining a little. Then I notice something my friend Susie said that I put on a Post-it and stuck on the inside of my cupboard so I could see it when I reach for my morning cup. It reads, I'm somebody God loves. That little meditation helps me a little more to enjoy eating healthier than fat, salt, and sugar is calling my name, and even sometimes to go to the gym instead of vegging out in front of the TV. Thank you, sis. Well, thank you, friend, for writing in. And this is something we have to fight for, to, as Chris was saying before the break, to contend for, to keep making those micro shifts in our focus and what we're telling ourselves so we can stand in the beauty of our value in Christ. So, Chris, we'll start with you. Just with this last segment, I wanted to have you just talk about, you know, here you are pastoring a large church with you and your husband. 18,000 or so are attending per weekend. You've got lots of people coming to you, and you're, you know, shepherding so many. What, how do you advise people in this selfie culture to dig deeper to the point where to say, because you have to go against the current to really be able to stand in the truth of your value in this day. What do you say?
Well, again, it sounds really simple, but it's just absolutely foundational, and that is to get our eyes off ourselves and focus on others. And so here in our church, we try to constantly help, help people see not only their value in Christ, but the value that they have in serving others. You know, if this was all there is, if we were never going to be used of God any longer on this earth, then once we come to know Him, why not go on to heaven? Why not be with Him, where there's no more tears and no more pain? The truth is that we are here for a purpose, that Christ has us here to be His hands, to be His feet, to be the salt, the light, to make a difference. And He has a purpose for us. He has a plan for our lives. He wants to use us to help a hurting world. And I know for me, it's so easy to get my eyes on my own problems, my own frustrations, my own pain. And that's just a daily thing. If I'm having a tough day, I can go a whole day and forget to ever look up and see the pain of any of those around me and just think of the simple things that I could do to make a difference.
Wow, so good. And Megan, here you are shepherding so many students. Is there a common theme that you deal with and common advice that you give? I mean, I hear what you're saying is lifting your eyes, remembering who you are, looking to other people. But, let's go in a little bit deeper as far as just in the daily grind of these students. What are they dealing with, and what do you find yourself saying? And maybe it's more of what Chris has just said.
It's honestly, it's crazy to see how much these students are dealing with nowadays compared to even just a few years ago when I was in junior high or high school in their position. But now they have, which I didn't even have back then, was Instagram, and posting selfies wasn't even a thing. And the fact that they have the ability to compare themselves to anyone all over the world. They have access to comparing themselves to every single guy and girl out there. And the truth is, we don't even know if this is the true person that these people are posting. Sometimes I find myself comparing myself to this random girl on Instagram, and I don't even know how I got there. And I'm scrolling all over the place, and I'm like, wait, who is this lady? And but it's true. They have the same thing going on for them. They're able to compare themselves to anyone and everyone. But we need to recognize that really, when we are posting these selfies and the reason that we have social media, it's not a bad thing to have it, but, why do we have social media in the first place? And that is it to get attention? Are we posting these things so people look at us? Or are we posting these things to really just share our life experiences? Because of technology, kids do have it a lot harder, but I just tried to remind them that even with technology, we can be helping other people. It's cool to see students post them and their friends helping others, or even posting, a picture of a best friend and describing why they're beautiful. But using these things that now their age group has access to, and all this technology and social media, but using it for good, using it to really bring beauty to others.
Good word, Megan. So, Chris, are there go-to passages of Scripture that you that are yours and that you maybe even pull out and use to encourage others?
Well, over and over again, we have, Megan and I have thought of and reflected on the powerful verses about where true beauty and true love come from. And, you know, Ephesians 3:20 says that what he has planned for us is so far beyond, so mind-blowingly more than we can ever think of, you know, that it's far more than we can dream of or imagine. And we truly believe that God has this incredible plan for each of our lives right now, right here in this life, and that we are absolutely blindsided and sidetracked by the lies that are thrown at us every day and believing those lies. And that because of technology, this is a fight that we need to take on stronger than ever, because, you know, this is, of course, wanting to feel beautiful, the competing and wanting to feel, you know, beautiful but yet trying to be pretty. All those issues have been around for hundreds of years, but it's only been in the last few years that technology has just grabbed this whole concept and run with it, and you know, to an extent that none of us could have really foreseen. And I think that you know, as just as women especially, we need to wake up. Fully wake up and realize what's happening here. And, you know, we're going to end up with generations of girls who have no concept of what beauty is if the ones who know Christ, if we as older sisters in Christ don't stand up and say, hey, this isn't real. You know, let us share with you what true beauty is. You know, let's create a conversation around this where we can talk about, instead of just talking about our insecurities, we can say, yes, I feel insecure, but you know what? My security doesn't lie in that. My security is in Christ. And hang on to that. And guys are so critical in this conversation as well. You know, if you are a dad listening, if you are a husband, if you are, you know, a boyfriend, if you are, you know, a grandfather, if you have any women in your life of any age, and I'm pretty sure that describes just about every man, your views and your thoughts and your beliefs in this area are critical. Because we need to create an atmosphere where women are able to and encouraged to find and discover their true beauty. And I will say that one very practical area of this that is devastating and, again, has just exploded with technology is the area of porn and just that's available, that looking at what culture says is beautiful is just so available 24/7. And that's a whole, you know, a topic that is, you know, is something to pray about, to talk about with your wife, and to fight over in prayer for your daughters.
Yeah, so good. The verse, one of my go-to verses is Psalm 26:3, and it says, "For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth." And I just feel like if God's love can be the filter through which everything has to pass before it goes into my head and into my heart, and I keep my feet grounded on the truth, I can stay the course. This has been a great conversation, gone so fast. Chris, as we wrap up, wondering if you would pray. You know, the title is Beauty Begins. Pray that each of us can remember that it doesn't start with us. It starts with God. He got the first say, so he gets the final say on our value. Would you pray?
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your love for us. Father, you love us more than we can ever dream of. We so selfishly look at ourselves and think about ourselves and want to wallow in our feelings. And Lord, you are the only truly beautiful one. And so today we choose by an act of our will to turn our eyes to you, to focus on you, to listen with our ears to what you have to say about us, to meditate in our hearts about what you have done for us on the cross. We thank you in advance for the incredible situations and plans and people that you have, those opportunities that are waiting for us. Thank you for choosing to use us in this life, Lord. And I pray that everyone who's listening would choose to open his or her eyes to the hurting people around us, that we would be your hands and your feet, that you would show us ways, Lord, even just little ways, that we can make a difference, that we can be you.
In your name we pray. Amen. Coming up next for hour two, we're going to talk about what it means to be a hope hunter. Another great hour up ahead. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.